Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God on this Old Testament Friday. In the book of Job, and we'll be in starting in chapter 17. And, you know, Job is just going through. We go through, he's going through. You think about it. You've lost your family. You lost your wealth. You lost your health. You lost everything. And you're wondering if God is hearing you. You're wondering, what's going on? But then you say, though he slay me, I will trust him. The word that God gave me from this morning is from Job 7 and 9. And I'm sorry, we will not be starting at 17. We'll be back in Job, I believe, 15, 13. Job chapter 13 through chapter 18. And it said, yet the righteous will hold to his way. Ooh, the righteous will hold to his way. We got to hold on to God's unchanging hand, even when we're going through. Even when we wake up in the morning and we feel like, Lord, just please give me another breath. Lord, I need you. You know, and I love how Job said, yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. We want to be stronger in the Lord. For he is with us wherever we go. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He loves us like that. And as we start our show this morning, we start with our prayer from our 365 days of prayer for life. And it says, enough today. All circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Ephesians 6:16, ESV. And if we read that scripture in King James, it says this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then it tells us to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We got to go, you know, have to go down a little bit. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always occasion in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. I will speak boldly as I ought to speak, thanking God for a voice this morning. And as we go into our words of prayer, it says, all sufficient one, and I like to say, almighty God, you provide me with everything I need in you. When I thought I had exhausted your help, you reached out and lifted me up, showing me that you never fail. I will face every challenge with the confidence of your presence in me. I won't let discouragement cloud my vision of you. Lord, as I walk this life with you by my side, I will not fear falling further than your grasp. You keep me steady. Your arm supports me and gives me the strength I don't have on my own. In every situation, I will keep the armor of faith firmly fastened to my being. May I continue to lean into you, depending on your gracious mercy to keep me safe. When the arrows of the enemy are flying around me, you have faithfully come through more times than I can count, and I know you won't stop now. What does your faith provide with you today? Hallelujah. What does your faith provide you with today? Joy, unspeakable joy. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for his mighty word. Father God in heaven, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for clothing us in our right mind. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Lord God. For you are my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this word, asking you as I do every day to increase as I decrease. Increase as I decrease, Lord God. Well, I can't do it without you. And in the name of the mighty and matchless name of my Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for another day, Lord. And I thank you for this word. May it touch someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit. And Lord, before I open my mouth to read your word, I pray, Lord God, that you cleanse me. Cleanse my heart. Forgive me for any sins I may have committed, seen and unseen, in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is my life, in whom I can't do anything without him. All honor belongs to God. And we are going to be coming this morning from the book of Job, starting in Job chapter 13. And we will read all life lessons from 13 to 18 after we finish the scriptures this morning. We'll go back and do the overview. And it says, behold, my eye has seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. And we need to go back a little bit so we know. And he is responding to Zophar. Zophar is in the Naamite. And now Job is responding to him. Behold, my eyes have seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom. Now hear my reasoning, and heed the pleading of my lips. Will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will you show partiality for him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well when he searches you out, or can you mock him as one mocks a man? He will surely rebuke you if you secretly show partiality. will not his excellence make you afraid and the dread of him fall upon you? Your platitudes are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Hold your peace with me and let me speak. Then let come on me what may. Why do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. For a hypocrite could not come before him. Listen carefully to my speech and to my declaration with your ears. See now, I have prepared my case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Who is he who will contend with me? If now I hold my tongue, I perish. Only two things do not do to me, then I will not hide myself from you. Withdraw your hand far from me, and let not the dread of you make me afraid. Then call, and I will answer, or let me speak, then you respond to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgressions and my sins. Why do you hide your face and regard me as your enemy? Will you frighten a leaf driven to and fro? And will you pursue dry stubble? For you write bitter things against me and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth. You put my feet in the stocks and watch closely all my parts. You set a limit for the soles of my feet. Man decays like a rotten. Man decays like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten. And to God, he's like, Lord, you know I'm going through some stuff. You know, he's talking about himself. His flesh, he's like, I'm all messed up. So you put my feet in the stocks and watch closely all my paths. You set a limit for the soles of my feet. Man decays like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten. Chapter 14 of Job. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest. Till, like a hired man, he finishes his day. But there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. And I want to put a pin there. I had a tree cut down probably about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer. And so the tree stump was left. They didn't come and take care of the stump like they were supposed to. And right now in the place where that stump was is a beautiful tree growth. So I know that this word is the truth, that a tree will grow from a stump. And so I have a tree that I have to get cut down. But once I get it cut down, I'm not going to get rid of the stump and keep it, the stump, and I'm going to see what happens. So we're going to see what happens. And it goes on to tell us, yet at the scent of water, it buds and brings forth branches like a plant. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he? As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave. That you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. But now you number my steps, but do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. But as a mountain falls and crumbles away, and as rock is moved from its place, as water wears away stones, as torrents wash away the soil of the earth, so you destroy the hope of man. You prevail forever against him, and he passes on. You change his countenance and send him away. His sons come to honor, and he does not know it. They are brought low, and he does not perceive it. But his flesh will be in pain over it, and his soul will mourn over it. Job chapter 15. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, should a wise man answer with empty knowledge and fill himself with the great, with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or by speeches which do no good? Yes, you cast off fear and restrain prayer before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. Are you the first man who was born, or were you made before the heel? Have you heard the counsel of God? Do you limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we do not know? What do you understand that is not in us? Both the gray-haired and the aged are among us. Each older than your father are relations of God. Too small for you, and the word spoken gently with you. Why does your heart carry you away, and what do your eyes wink at? You turn your spirit against God and let such words go out of your mouth. What is a man that he can be pure, that he was born of a woman, that he can be righteous? If God puts no trust in his saints and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water? I will tell you, hear me. What I have seen, I will declare. Wise men have told, not hiding anything received from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien passed among them. The wicked man withers with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden, and the oppressor, dreadful sounds are in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer comes upon him. He does not believe that he will return from darkness, for a sword is waiting for him. He wanders about for bread, saying, where is it? He knows that a day of darkness is ready at his hand. Trouble and anguish make him afraid. They overpower him like a king ready for battle. But he stretches out his hand against God and acts defiantly against the Almighty, running stubbornly against him with his strong and broad shield. Though he has covered his face with his fatness and made his waist heavy with fat, he dwells in desolate cities, in houses which no one inhabits, which are destined to become ruins. He will not be rich, nor will his wealth continue, nor will his possessions overspread the earth. He will not depart from darkness. The flame will dry out, and by the breath of his mouth, he will go away. Let him not trust in futile things. Deceiving himself for futility will be his reward. It will be accomplished before his time, and his branch will not be green. He will shake off his vine and cast off his bosom like an olive tree. for the company of hypocrites will be barren, and fire will consume the tent of bribery. They conceive trouble and bring forth fertility. Their womb prepares deceit. Woo. Job chapter 16. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end, or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved, and if I remain silent, I am at ease. But now he has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company. You have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. O earth, do not cover my blood, and let me cry, and let my cry have no resting place. Surely even now my witness is in heaven, and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor. But when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. It's broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Are not mockers with me? And does not my eyes dwell on their provocation? But now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? For you have hidden the heart from understanding. Therefore you will not exalt him. He who speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children will fail. But he has made me a byword of the people, and have become one in whose face men spit. My eye has also grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Right men are astonished at this, at the innocent stares himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. But please come back again, all of you, for I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is near, they say, in the face of the darkness. If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down the shore? Shall we have rest together in the dust? Ooh. And as we go back to verse number 9, yet the righteousness will hold its way. The righteous will hold its way. And clean ten will be stronger. That is our title for this morning. And as we go to chapter 18, it says, then Baladan, the Shuhite, answered and said, how long till you put an end to words? Gain understanding, and afterwards we will speak. Why are we counted as beasts and regarded as stupid in your sight? who tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you? Or shall the rock be removed from its place? The light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. The steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel casts him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. The net takes him by the heel, and a snare lays hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him in the road. Terrors frighten him on every side and drive him to his feet. His strength is starved, and destruction is ready at his side. It devours patches of his skin. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. He is uprooted from the shelter of his skin, and they parade him before the king of terrors. They dwell in his are none of his. Brimstone is scattered on his dwelling. His roots are dried out below, and his branch withers above. The memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name among the renowned. He is driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He has neither sun nor prosperity among his people, nor any remaining in his dwelling. Those in the west are astonished at his days, as those in the east are frightened. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. And I got to say this. These are his friends. Can y'all say? These are his friends that are talking to him like this. He's going through some stuff. He can't move. He's sitting in ashes. He's got boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And they are vilifying. It must be you. You did this, that, and the other. And then because he stands up for himself, vilify him even more. And who do you think you are? You making us feel like we stupid. We not stupid. Who, huh? Well, I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you like it is. I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm going to keep it real, Job. You know, and he's going through. You don't want somebody beating you down when you already beat down. You know, last night in a Bible study, Pastor came from Romans chapter 14, which we'll be getting to. And she talked about this thing behind our teeth we call a tongue. And, you know, how we got can't be being nasty to each other, talking about each other, vilifying each other. You know, Paul was beseeching the Romans. Again, we'll get to it next week. And it tells us that we got to, you know, to mind our own business pretty much is what it boils down to. You know, because each of us, it says each of us shall give an account of himself to God. And these men who are vilifying Job, each of them are going to have to give account for themselves. But they are telling Job that he must be this horrible sin. So let's go back to some life lessons from Dr. Stanley, you know, for Job chapter 13 through 18. And if there's anybody that has a word that they would like to share in what we've already read, please don't hesitate to hit the number one. And it says this in Job 13 and 5, that you would be silent and it would be your wisdom. Very often, this is from Dr. Stanley, most frequently than we know, our best counsel and most helpful advice is to say precisely nothing. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Proverbs 17 and 28. Hold your peace. Just hold your peace. It's best to just be quiet. And I'm learning that myself. And it tells us, you know, and I know this was a title at one point as we read this word, Job 13 and 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God is either worth trusting all the way to the end, or he's not worth trusting at all. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, John 6:68. We got to trust God. And when we go to a life example from Dr. Stanley, Job, choosing to trust. Job was a good and righteous man who walked in the ways of the Lord. In fact, his righteousness prompted God to say of him, there is none like him on the earth. Job 1:8. God blessed Job for his righteousness, and so Job earned the title the greatest of all the people of the East. Job 1:3. Yet Job endured unspeakable suffering. Though he had done nothing wrong, he lost everything, his family, his wealth, his reputation, even his health. If that weren't enough, his wife and his friends offered him no real comfort. Job's friend told him that he had suffered because of some hidden sin in his life. Job is a stark biblical example of a fact we need to understand. Even those who are right before God suffer adversity. Will we allow the suffering to tear down our faith or build it up? These are our only choices. In Job 13:15, Job said, though he slay me, yet will. Job chose to place his complete faith in God, his Redeemer, throughout all of his difficult circumstances. Through everything he went through, he said, though he slay me, I will trust him. We got to trust God, yet will I trust him. We got to trust God, even when we're going through, even in our messy mess. We got to trust God that one day he will give it to us and show us how to get our stuff back in order. We want to be in order for God. We want to be on time for God. We want to do what we're supposed to do for God. Because it's not about us. It is about him. And we want to set a good example for God. Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. We have no more power to turn ourselves, our sin into righteousness than a leper can change this spot. Jeremiah 13:23. Yet Christ has the power to remove our sins and replace them with his holiness if we will trust him. Do you trust God today? Do you trust that Jesus died for your sins and that you will have the right to eternal life through salvation through Christ Jesus? Job 14:14, if a man dies, shall he live again? A dead man will live again, but only the saved will live in God's presence. Did you catch that? A dead man will live again, but only the saved will live in God's presence. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. Do you believe in Jesus? As the song says, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Thank you, Pastor Crouch. You know, we got to trust in the Lord. Job 15:9, what do you know that we do not know? When people start measuring themselves by themselves and come and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Why? We are all ignorant in ways unknown to us, especially when compared to God. You know, we don't need to compare ourselves to anybody else. We don't. But, you know, so many times we look at what Sister Susie got. We look at what Brother Jones has got. And we want to be like Brother Jones. And we want to dress like Sister Susie. And we want to do this and that. And what we need to do is just be ourselves. Who are you? You are a child of God. And when we go to 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, but we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they are measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. where we stretch ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached out unto you, for we are come as far as you, preaching the gospel of Christ. We got to preach the word. If you are an evangelist, evangelize. If you are a preacher, teacher, preach and teach. Do what you're called to do. And don't worry about what he said, she said, or woo-woo said. Do what you're supposed to do. And don't worry if anybody doesn't give you accolades. It doesn't matter. God knows what he's called you to do. And God will open doors for you. All you have to do is be patient and wait on the Lord. Do what you do for God. And watch God do what he does for you. Job 16:5. I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips will relieve your grief. Our words have the power to tear down and bring grief, or the power to give strength and comfort. Every day we choose what kind of power we will wield. And God is watching. Woo! It's watching. Job 16:9. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. When we pray in our anguish and nothing seems to change, and we cry out in our pain and it only increases, we wonder if God has become our enemy. Never. He loves us and always will. God loves us and always will. And Dr. Stanley has given us answers to some life questions. Does Satan cause all of our adversity? I haven't read what he said. I think I read it last year. But I'm going to just say this, no. So many times my sister and I, just this past week, we always talk about, well, the devil did this and the devil did that and the devil caused me to stumble and the devil caused this mess. No. I always say the devil did everything because everything is not of the devil. Some things own making. My mess is my own mess that I make. I can't blame the devil for that. I can't blame anybody for that but me. And we got to stop always giving the devil credit for everything. Well, you know the devil did this. No. You fail because you know you was drinking and you know that you cannot drink. And so you fail because you was drunk. The devil didn't do that. You did. You got a mess because you the one that decided to clean your closet and then put stuff back. I'm talking about me. I can't talk about nobody else. You know, I got to call myself cleaning my closet and it's got stuff everywhere because I haven't put it all back because I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to keep this and I don't know if I want to keep that. So you got all these containers that you're going to put stuff in because you're going to give this away. But then you're looking at it, you're like, well, oh, no, I might want to keep that. Now you know you can't get in there. And I'm talking about me again, not about you. Devil didn't do that. That was all me. And it's all me that's got to clean up the mess and put the stuff back in my closet and give the stuff that I need to give away. Quit it. You know, if you bring something in, take something out. That's the rule of thumb. If you haven't worn it in 2 years, it's time to give it away. You know, I'm learning. I'm asking God, Lord, help me to downsize. You know, we want to downsize. Don't have to have a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I used to be like, you know, got to get this, got to get that, got to do this, got to do that. I'm trying to learn how to calm down because I realize I run. And then, you know, in church last night, and I realized I would be in church every day next week. Every day. When I get off work, I got an obligation at church. Even on my day off, I got an obligation at church. I got a Bible study on Monday. I got prayer and choir and a meeting on Tuesday. Got another meeting on Wednesday. Midweek service in children's church on Thursday. Not sure what's going on Friday, but something's going on Friday, too. And then Saturday, I'm going to, I got a meeting Saturday morning, and then I have a luncheon women's conference Saturday mid-afternoon. And then Sunday, I got church again. So, yeah, we have busy weeks. Still, I've got to rest. And I say this because I've been there, been in a hospital bed, because I failed to rest. I failed to do what God said do. When God says rest, you got to rest. When God says you got to go to sleep, you got to go to sleep. You can't try doing everything. You can't be everything for everybody. I'm learning to say, no, I can't do that. I won't do that. Because if we don't, we will wear ourselves out. And let's just call it straight. If you die tomorrow, you got to take care of yourself. And I don't know who that's for, but I'm telling you, take care of yourself. It might have been for me. But going back to Dr. Stanley's words, and he says, does Satan cause all of our adversity? The quick answer is no. That's what it says. While the book of Job makes it obvious that the devil can and does afflict us, some of our adversity comes simply because we live in a fallen world. All people, believers and non-believers alike, suffer adversity not caused by anything we or others have done. In Luke 13:1-5, Jesus declared that victims of two separate local tragedies died not because they had sinned worse than anyone else in Jerusalem, but simply because they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Can the church say amen? How many tragedies have we heard of that someone was just in the wrong place, the wrong time? In a fallen world, any of us could die at any time. And that is why we must always be ready to stand before God. Adversity can also come into our lives as a result of personal sin. Each sin we commit carries some consequences. A natural overflow of adversity tailored to the nature of our disobedience. In cases like this, we can't blame God, the devil, or others. We must follow David's example and say, I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. 51st Psalm, verses 3 and 4. Let's say that I hear a juicy rumor and choose to gossip about it. Then imagine that the news turns out to be completely untrue. The result, no one trusts me anymore. I am rightly seen as a malicious gossip. I have destroyed my public witness. I can't blame anyone else for what happened. It was my own fault. And you hear me say it often. We got to keep our tongue behind our teeth. Because sometimes you don't know what you're saying and who you're hurting. Folks will give you a reputation that you don't even have. They will talk about you, vilify you, and tear you down. And you're just looking and you're saying, I don't have to deal with this. Why am I dealing with this? And then you hear the voice of God to say, because I need you as an example to get through, to go through, to show who I am. People don't know you. You do. You don't do for people. You do me. So don't worry about folks talking about you. Don't worry about folks tearing you up and talking about you from 5th Street to 22nd. Don't worry about it. Because the bottom line is, you got to stand before God on your own and on your merit. They got to stand before God on their merit. And as they talk about you, they need to do some self-reflection. We can't talk about everybody. Well, you know she did this and that and da-da-da. So what? It's none of your business. If, as my mother said, if you mind your business 6 months out of the year, oh, and you mind your business the other 6 months of the year, guess what? You minded your business the whole year. So that's what we have to do, mind our business and stay out of other folks. It's hard sometimes. But when you mind your own business, you don't have to worry about what he said, she said, they said, or what we said. All you have to do is do what God says for you to do. Because God's going to give you the desire of your heart. Don't worry about anybody else. You know, except for who God tells you to take care of. Because worry is not a God. It's a form of fear. And fear is not faith. We got to have faith. And it comes on this way. It says, finally, some adversity comes straight from Almighty God. We don't like to think about this one. But let's be clear. God is ultimately concerned with our spiritual growth, not with our happiness or momentary pleasure. He always has the big picture in mind whenever he allows or sends adversity into our lives. So David wrote, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. 119 Psalm verse 75. Unfortunately, adversity is often the only thing that would get our attention. I once heard a fine teacher explain it this way. God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in adversity. If God doesn't get our attention through his blessings or by stinging our conscience, then he will certainly put us flat on our backs in adversity so that we can get the message. Again, when God says rest and you choose to run, and you wind up in a hospital bed, you get his full attention. He got your full attention. And all you can say is, no, God, slow down. We got to slow down. We got to stop and listen for the voice of God. Because if we don't, he will bring adversity to get your attention. And we got to get out of worrying about what somebody else is going to think of you. You know, don't judge me and I won't judge you. Because folks are always ready to judge someone when they don't know their story, when they don't know what they're going through, when they don't know anything about them. But they want to judge. We got to quit being judges. Only one. And his name is Jesus. And he is the one that will come and get us when it's time to go. All we have to do is have our spiritual bags packed. Do you have your fruit of the Spirit? Do you have the grace of God? Do you have your full armor packed? Do you have your swords of the Spirit? Are you ready to go? Do you have on your holiness? Do you have righteousness? Can you see through the dark? It is marvelous. So do you have your glasses on? Your spiritual glass. Are you ready to go? Because when it's your time, it's your time. I pray for a little longer, but there's some things I want to do and some things I feel I need to do before it's my time. So I ask God for a little longer and good health. Because I'll tell you something, all the money means absolutely nothing if you don't have health and wisdom to keep it. Hallelujah. And it says in Job 17 and 15, where then is my hope? In Christ, we have all the hope we will ever need. Regardless of our circumstances, God has begotten us again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1 and 3. And that is our word for this morning. I do have another prayer and a word from Sister Carolyn. We have read the book of Job this morning in our Old Testament word. We have read Job chapter 13 through chapter 18. And on Sunday, we will be in our Psalm and our Proverbs in Romans, the book of Romans. So if you would like to read ahead for Sunday, we will be in the 94th Psalm, starting at verse 12. Through the 23rd Psalm, starting at verse 1 to verse 3. We will be in the 94th Psalm to the 95th Psalm, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 22, starting at verse 26 and ending in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 3. And we will be in Romans chapter 11 through Romans chapter 12. Yeah, Romans chapter 11 through Romans chapter 12. So if you would like to read forward, that's where we will be on Sunday. God willing, and the creek don't rise. Thank you all. And as we go to our prayer to end today, again, if there's anyone that God has given a word, now is the time to call 213-943-3597 or push if you are already a call-in listener. And for those that listen on social media, you can call in live every day, Sunday through Friday at 7 a.m. 213-943-3597. And if you call in, then you can push the 1 on your phone and you'll be able to talk to me and all of you for listening in. But this is a prayer, and it's actually our tomorrow prayer, but I'm reading it today since we will not be on air on Saturdays. We are not. That is my day that God gave me to rest and to do what I need to do for him. And it says, burning joy, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. But this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 18, that's one of my favorites, in our SV. Lord, your gracious mercy is always enough. It provides exactly what I need when I need it. In you, I find my greatest joy. I can't help but be overflow with delight when I consider your faithful love in my life. When I have plenty, may I rejoice in the abundance and give away more than I keep to myself. When I have little, let me be filled with the joy that I have what I need. Look how you provide. Woo, praise the Lord. Why would I worry about tomorrow when you so graciously give all that I need today? Can you say, thank you, Jesus? Lord, may I grow in generosity as I observe your own open-handedness in my life instead of storing up a wealth that moths and rust could destroy. May I delight in liberally giving to those who are in need. Let my heart always be grateful for your provision, never taking it for granted. You are indescribably good to your children. I'm so thankful. And all I can say is, Father God in heaven, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your generosity toward us by giving us life morning by morning, putting breath in our body. And so, Father God, whatever you need us to do today, we lift up our hands and say, open to give as well as receive. Your grace and mercy, God, may we be who you have called us to be. And the question for this morning is, what characteristic of God brings you joy today? Whew, what characteristic of God brings you just something to think about? Remember, our word for this morning, yet righteous, the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. thanking God for his word this morning. May it add a blessing to the hearer and the reader, the hearers and reader of this word. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning is this. Always in the midst of the spiritual to those who take time to listen. And he listens to those who take time to pray. Have a fantastic Friday. Sister Carolyn gets me all choked up because I tell you this, she's all in the spiritual wing. The lesson for today, all of it. You know, Dr. Stanley has broken down, and Sister Carolyn broke it down a little bit farther. God speaks to those who take time to listen, and he listens to those who take time to pray. Are you praying today? Keep God first in whatever you do, and take time to pray. Thank him for giving you another day. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in. Grateful, thankful, and blessed for another opportunity to serve you. And as I pray us out, may the Lord watch between me and you while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Family, have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, God loves you. He loves you more than words can say. And remember, the righteous will hold to his way. And we, as men and women of God, must hold to his hand. The song says, hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. We need to hold to the hand of God and remember that he loves us. Have a great day, family. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. And I love you most. I love you. As my niece likes to say, I love you more. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.